You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Last week at a mayoral candidates forum on the future of education, arts, and culture in New York City at the Joyce Berger Brown, Cowan? Auditorium at Columbia University's Teachers College, Kurt Anderson and I had the opportunity to question 14 of New York's mayoral candidates about how much support we might expect them to give to arts education and the city's nonprofit cultural institutions if they were elected. Joining me now for a recap of what was said are representatives of some of the organizations that sponsored the event: Heather Whitfield, the executive director of 1% for Culture; Susan Furman, president of Columbia University's Teachers College; and Nancy Cleaver, executive director of Young Audiences New York. Welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Now, one of the reasons for organizing this event is that despite the importance of arts to New York City, which is generally regarded as the arts capital of the world, support for the arts rarely gets mentioned during a campaign. Have you noticed the candidates' websites? Have any of them even made mention of arts policy?
Not until the Center for Arts Education put out a questionnaire about arts and education policy have I ever seen a politician during campaign season talk about the issues that we discussed on the 30th. It was astounding.
How important are the – we'll get to arts education in a moment, but Heather, how important are just the normal arts nonprofits to the city's economic health?
So – our nonprofit institutions are vital. They're the backbone of the city, and they're driving this high tourism numbers. We know that 24.5 million tourists are coming for our for a cultural experience, but they're also directly spending $3.9 billion, which equates to about $8.1 billion in economic impact, and they're employing about 120,000 people as well. So it's a critical industry, and we don't look at it that way.
Well, all but one of the major candidates took part. People probably can guess who didn't show up. It drew a large audience, and yet not one newspaper or TV news show seems to have covered the event. The next day, the Times wrote about an underattended Anthony Weiner campaign stop. Does that surprise you?
No. I think the fact that 14 showed up is extraordinary, and I agree that when the debates about education in the city, which are strong and frequent, rarely, if ever, included arts education. So we focused on it, I think that was wonderful.
Were there certain questions that you most wanted to hear us ask the candidates? Let's start with you, Nancy.
Well, I was interested in the question that you and Kurt asked most of the candidates about their stand on the Project Arts budget line in the New York City Department of Education budget, which was cut by the Bloomberg administration in 2007. I think across the board we heard everyone say, yes, 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 there should be more money for arts education. We need to invest in the creativity of our city's future. Now I think it's just important to start talking about how we prioritize that. I think everyone is in agreement, whether it's Project Arts budget line, whether it's some other kind of requirement. I think the debate needs to continue now.
Well, what did those cuts lead up to? What's the situation now?
Well, back between 96 and 2007, this Project Arts line, which was a per capita amount of money, I think at its peak in 2001, it was $63 per student per year, which is woeful to begin with. But that line had to be spent on arts instruction, supplies, field trips, experiences with cultural institutions in the city. And when the Bloomberg administration broke up the Board of Education and decided to make schools kind of more of their own, have principals have more control over their own budgets, we saw some schools where the principals, who were very clever and very good at constructing budgets, use it to hire more arts teachers and do more with cultural institutions, while others that had bigger schools or needed to spend their budgets in different ways due to their population, it got cut.
It also tended to there tended to be more arts education in schools in better neighborhoods. Some of the the poor neighborhoods where we saw most of the cuts because principals were focused on teaching to the test.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. I mean, there have been some great programs out there, including ours at Young Audiences New York, where we're fixing instruments and providing music instruction for free, and the schools are saying to us, we don't have time in our school day because we have to do all this math and reading prep.
Susan, what did you want Curtin and me to ask?
Yeah, I would have followed up on the point that Nancy just made a little bit more. I think the questions focused on funding and what the cuts meant for schools and what the discretion over what the spending meant for schools. But in fact, it's the whole climate of education that's affecting arts education. The emphasis on mathematics and reading, which has crowded out social studies and physical education as well as arts education. Certainly the emphasis on testing, on things that are measurable. Perhaps when we move into a climate of performance testing, we'll realize that, and performance tasks, we'll realize that the arts have always assessed performance in very sophisticated ways and not in fill in the bubble kinds of questions.
And Heather?
Well, obviously, you continue to ask the question about whether they would dedicate 1% of the budget to culture, which is our mission. I would also love to hear more.
But what would happen if they did dedicate 1% to culture? What are they giving now?
They're giving about 0.22%, and it's been as high as 0.38 in the past, and it's been declining and pretty much level over the past 3 or 4 years. There would be more funding for, and I want to make the point really early that culture is not just museums and theaters. It's also zoos and botanical gardens, historic houses, science centers. It's community arts organizations and it's festivals. And there would be more accessibility. The first things that have to be cut when budgets get cut are the things we care the most about, the education programs, the free days, things for seniors, the things that really benefit New Yorkers, the things that benefit our neighborhoods. There could be more of that. And, you know, also there would be more jobs.
Most of the candidates, some of whom have backgrounds related to the educational system, seemed to feel that they were on safer ground when they talked about the future of education, including the role of arts in education, rather than the future of arts and artists in New York City. Were you surprised at all by that, Heather?
No. Unfortunately, that's not surprising. I think, you know, we hear a lot of buzz about different things. We hear tech and building Tech Leon. And the truth is, in New York City, at Teachers College, at universities all over the city, we're training some of the world's greatest artists. And we're not doing enough to retain them and make sure they can have jobs here and can live here and that New York can be livable for them.
A number of the candidates mentioned that when they went to school, there was at least one art teacher and one music teacher on the staff. Did you get the feeling that they were promising that that might happen again if they were elected?
I didn't. You know, I think they alluded to the idea that that would be great and they're for it, but I didn't hear any concrete plans for bringing that back because, you know, as we talked about, 50% of the schools in New York City in the 2012 school year had a music teacher. Now, let's be real about that. Even one certified music teacher in an average school of, 600 students? That's not a very sustainable or a very consistent sequencing for a student studying music. And so I would love to hear a conversation that is more about how are we going to build this in a sustainable, thorough way.
Now, many years ago, I had Chico Hamilton, a great drummer from Los Angeles, on the show, and I asked him why, when he was in school in Los Angeles, so many great musicians came out of that program. Charles Mingus, Buddy Collette, Dexter Gordon. It was just amazing. I said, was there something in the water or the air? And he said, no, there was something in school policy at that time. Every school had to teach every student a musical instrument. For all we know, Charlie Mingus, if he hadn't been forced to pick up an instrument, wouldn't have become one of the greatest jazz musicians of the 20th century.
Absolutely. I mean, we do fantastic work at Young Audiences New York bringing professional teaching artists into the classroom. So do hundreds of our colleague organizations that were represented that night at the forum. But whenever we leave at the end of a residency or the end of the school year, the question in our heads is, well, what's next? When's the next opportunity these kids are going to have to study the arts?
My guests are Nancy Cleaver, Executive Director of Young Audiences New York, Susan Furman, President of Columbia University's Teachers College, and Heather Whitfield, the Executive Director of 1% for Culture. Let's listen to some of the things that some of the candidates said. Kurt asked Christine Quinn why she hadn't passed a proposed resolution that would dedicate a line of funding to arts education. She said that she would take a look at that resolution and then added,
the larger point there of getting more money into the classroom, A, generally, but B, specifically for arts, is something you're going to see happen when I'm mayor. We have so much
money. You'll do better than this administration?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can't tell you the number, but I make that commitment to do better tonight. And I know we can find those resources.
And then she said, but I can't give you a number. When I asked her about whether she'd commit 1% to the city's budget to support the arts, this is what she said. She said she wouldn't commit, but here's what she said.
I'm not going to, you know, there's other events, parks, et cetera, where people want to
commit. I wonder if we're
going to
get one candidate to say yes tonight.
You're not. I bet you're not. But you know what? That's not a bad thing. Because, look, you actually want candidates to come and say those kind of conversations have to happen in a budget context, not in a political context. And I don't think that's a bad thing that people are not, you know, necessarily saying that.
Now, all of the candidates, we're going to get to many of the others, all of the candidates were there to make a good showing. Do you feel that they all showed themselves off in the best way?
Well, I want to say that the emphasis on a specific number and the reluctance to agree to a number is understandable. In education, generally, we have tried to move away from categorical funding, which has made it impossible for principals to combine funds and use the money the most effectively. So while the arts are undoubtedly worthy and worth a specific number that we stick to, in general, the idea of providing more discretion is a good one. And that, of course, comes to the city budget as a whole. If you look at cities like Chicago and Detroit, and the concerns over growing pension costs and all the other needs, it's kind of understandable why everyone would want to consider the arts in conjunction with all the other needs.
And they did talk, a number of candidates, about trade-offs, restructuring pensions and other things in the city budget so that they could find more money for the arts. But when I asked about monies that were given to companies to stay in the city and all sorts of other incentives to companies, they didn't say that they thought that should be changed, even though in some cases it hasn't really helped the city's economy in the way that the arts have.
I think it's best, you know, we have to assess ways to fund culture and ways to fund arts education. And, you know, whether that's finding savings, finding places where we maybe are giving benefits that some of them are wonderful and beneficial and help the city and some of them don't. And whether it's assessing that or whether it's finding other sources of revenue, you know, it is, as Speaker Quinn said, a larger budget context. But I believe there is, you know, money to be found there, but it's not about taking it from one place. It's about finding ways to save and still provide all the services for the city.
We'll take a little break, and when we come back, we'll hear what some of the other candidates said. My guests are Heather Whitfield, the Executive Director of 1% for Culture, Susan Furman, President of Columbia University's Teachers College, and Nancy Cleaver, Executive Director of Young Audiences New York. We are talking about what happened during a forum of mayoral candidates on the future of education, arts, and culture in New York City at Teachers College at Columbia University last week with three of the people who were involved in the sponsoring organizations, Heather Whitfield, the executive director of 1% for Culture, Susan Furman, president of the Teachers College at Columbia University, and Nancy Cleaver, executive director of Young Audiences New York. I want to play clips from some of the other candidates, but do any of you know what happened to the few candidates who didn't show up? Some showed up and probably shouldn't have showed up. I'm not going to mention any names. But Anthony Weiner was something we weren't sure about until pretty much the last minute.
Yeah, I heard he was at an event in the Bronx or at City Island.
I'd heard he was in the Rockaways earlier and then in City Island, so I think we didn't fit in between. Wasn't quite en route.
I learned he wasn't coming from you.
Well, I heard it from others. But somehow we assumed. On the other hand, there was a wonderful turnout of candidates, including some people who surprised us all because you wondered why they were running. There was a comedian. There were some other people who didn't seem to really have much of a grasp of New York City politics, despite the fact they were running for mayor.
There was an artist.
Yes.
There was an accountant.
Well, there are a couple of accountants. We have John Liu, who...
Oh, no, he's an actuary.
Yeah, in fact, he talked to himself... he described himself as an actuary and told a joke about it. And now I'm forgetting the joke, but... it was a nice self-deprecating thing that he said that got a nice laugh. Kurt asked him what percentage of the school system's budget he would dedicate to arts education, and here's how he responded.
It will be more. And the way we're going to get that money is to get away from the Department of Education's current mindset. I am a believer that the Department of Education should engage all its stakeholders. That means engaging teachers, principals, parents, and community activists. Right now, the model for the Department of Education is if they need advice or they need more information to fill some kind of knowledge gap, they don't go to any stakeholders. They go nationally and find the most expensive consultants around to bring them to New York City to then help them fashion the solutions and wind up paying. I mean, the contract budget, the consultant budget for the Department of Education is now approaching $1 billion a year.
When I asked him about allocating 1% of the budget to nonprofit cultural institutions, this is what he said.
I would start by increasing the funding for, I would say, the lesser established organizations, the newer organizations, many of them in the neighborhoods, in immigrant communities, those out of the mainstream. This is where we nurture the talent, the skills of the 8.5 million people that we have here in New York City. It's, you know, the Metropolitans and the Museum of Natural History and the Guggenheim's great. And my wife and I, we go with our son Joey quite a bit to these organizations. But you nurture the talent from some of the smaller organizations who are run on shoestring budgets.
I wondered when candidates got applause, whether it was from their friends or whether they were saying something that the audience was happy to hear. Heather, were you happy to hear what he said there?
Yeah, I think what's really important is that the next mayor understands the breadth of culture, that there are large organizations, but there are very small organizations, that there are all different disciplines, and that especially important that it happens all over the city. It doesn't just happen in a small radius of downtown Manhattan. And so I think that probably a lot of the applause in the audience was coming from a lot of those small organizations who had attended, and I, you know were there waiting to hear those kind of answers. And I also know that, you know, immigrant arts very rarely gets mentioned, so that in particular was exciting to hear a candidate say that.
Although he is running as the immigrant, one of the immigrant candidates. There are a number of immigrants running for mayor. When I pointed out to public advocate Bill de Blasio that he's often called the most liberal candidate in the race, so I wondered if he'd be willing to commit 1% of the city's budget to support of artists and arts organizations, this is what he said.
I do feel comfortable saying that there's a lot we can do in the here and now, and especially over a few years of build-out, to enhance the cultural life of the city, whether you're talking about the plan I've put forward for a tax on the wealthy for early childhood education and after school. It's a tax on people who make a half million or more. And the after school component is a place where we can fundamentally reintroduce arts and culture and music back in the public school system on a higher level. It's something we've basically started to lose profoundly during the fiscal crisis of the 70s. I think the reintroduction begins with the after-school program I've proposed. I think we can do a lot more to protect the cultural sector here, including a lot of artists, musicians, et cetera, who are not high income, which is the history of New York City. Creative people who brought their energy and creativity here but did not have a lot of resources. We used to have a real commitment to affordable housing for artists. I want to restore that as part of my affordable housing plan.
A lot of artists who were looking for housing.
Yeah, and a lot of
Nancy?
Yeah, a lot of young people looking for after school and out of school opportunities, and you know, there's just so much time in a school day, and there's a lot the Department of Education is trying. There's a lot we're all trying to do for our young people. I think we really. I heard a few candidates mention after school. One candidate mentioning using school buildings as hubs for the cultural organizations in the neighborhood and a place for kids to come and study the arts after school. And I think there are lots of ways that cultural organizations are already doing that, us included, and raising the money to provide those programs for free for New York City public school students.
Well, an annual 60-odd million dollar supplemental arts funding budget was started in 1997, but then in 2007, the Bloomberg administration stopped requiring principals, as we mentioned earlier, to spend it on arts education. All of the candidates were asked about data showing 20% of the schools don't have full-time art teachers and half don't have full-time music teachers. Although state law requires a minimum amount of instruction in music, dance, visual arts, and theater. And Mr. de Blasio said he would make sure the city did more to comply and added, the law is the law. It's not optional.
Well, I think right now there aren't many accountability measures, and Susan can probably talk to that a little more, but not a lot of accountability measures in place in the New York City school grading protocol for checking that each school has a minimum standard of the arts and of relationships with the cultural organizations in New York City.
I imagine that most of the need is being fulfilled by traveling teachers split among several schools, and I don't know how precise the accounting is on their time. But the larger point is that no one is looking at arts performance or progress in understanding and appreciating the arts, so it's not something that schools are particularly attending to.
Now, why do you think the arts get such short shrift, considering how important they are to New York in particular?
Well, we get the the old, oh, you're an artist, you think creatively, you can't quantify the beauty we create. And there are a lot of efforts out there on behalf of the arts education field to start really qualifying and quantifying and really looking at what assessment in the arts looks like.
Artists really, they have a drive to make their work. And because of that, they have often historically done things like work for free. And we see, you know, if I give you that $120,000 jobs number, there's, 90,000 volunteers also involved in that picture. And we know that, you know, artists are willing to do that because their passion is to create. And we need to see this as a profession.
So people take advantage of that commitment.
Well, American educational policy has been driven in large measure by international comparisons. And we're measured against other countries in reading, math, and science. And there's an assumption that the U.S. doesn't have to worry about creativity. Mm-hmm. In fact, everyone looks to us for creativity. And so I think there are reasons we haven't put as much pressure on the arts as we should.
People come to New York. Artists come to New York from all over the world.
Absolutely. And we want the young people, the creative young people that come up through New York to want to stay here and want to invest in creative industries in the city and help create jobs and create art and contribute back to the vibrancy of our city.
My guests are Nancy Cleaver, Executive Director of Young Audiences New York, Susan Furman, President of Teachers College at Columbia University, and Heather Woodfield, the Executive Director of 1% for Culture. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. The next candidate was Bill Thompson. The next candidate we're going to play something from. Kurt asked him if he would make spending on the arts in schools a priority, and here's his response.
I'd want a mandate
you know, with principals that money has to be spent for art and music education. We'd want to work with them to help develop, you know, kind of go back again on a community basis, which art and music, you know, education should be in each school. Work with them, let the schools make the decisions. As a matter of fact, it'd be nice for a change to involve parents in that discussion also, and bring them into that conversation. But I'd want to baseline that money. I want to mandate that it has to be spent, and it needs to be more than $60 million. It has to be more than that.
And he added that the arts education should figure in evaluations of schools and principals. We're not doing that now?
Probably not. The scores are judged primarily on, school scores are judged primarily on student test performance, on parental surveys and student surveys, and other measures of school quality that visitors might observe. Perhaps the arts are a tiny component of that. Maybe student satisfaction or parent satisfaction reflects it.
Yes.
But it's not as explicit as it could be.
Right. And I think it also contributes to, a good pat on the back to the principal, mm-hmm. or it contributes to it. But it's more of a soft measure than it is a hard measure.
Did you get a sense that there was much difference in the answers from the Democrats and the Republicans on the basic issues?
I didn't. Did you?
Not on these issues.
No, not on these issues.
Kurt asked Joe Loda to be specific about how much should be dedicated to arts education. He wouldn't give a specific number, but here was his response.
But it'd be a bigger number, and it shouldn't be. When you make it supplemental, you also make it the first thing to cut. I think when you cut arts education, you make a mistake. When you cut physical education, you make a mistake. You need to find a way to continue what I consider part of the core education program. And if you believe it's part of a core program, it does not get cut. You've got to find other ways to deal with whatever cuts are necessary. But don't take away things that I believe are essential to an education.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, we hear time and again, there's research study after research study. The President's Council on the Arts just came out with one. There was a great study by James Catterall at UCLA a few years ago that show that the arts are the great equalizer. If we're a city who's really dedicated to leveling the playing field for our kids, we need to really get serious about this investment and really put arts at the forefront. And we find time and again that sustained involvement in the arts, especially for kids from low-income households and kids who are not who are English language learners, show the greatest benefits when they're engaged in the arts.
And these days, isn't the Board of Ed or the school system depending on outside organizations to supplement? Rosie Perez has filled in for me on the show a few times, and I know she has an organization which funds arts in underfunded school systems, schools in the city. But in a way, should that be the responsibility of other organizations? Shouldn't that be the responsibility of the Board of Education?
A lot of our cultural organizations are picking up the slack, but that shouldn't be it. That should be a supplement. That's absolutely rich and important, and there are still 250 schools that don't have a partnership with a cultural organization, so there definitely should be more of that. We live in this city. It's at our doorstep. We should give that to our kids, but that can't be the whole piece.
And we hear that teachers have to go out and buy art supplies for their own classes because they're not getting it from their school's budgets. When I questioned Mr. Loda about his role as Mayor Giuliani's point man in the fight to defund the Brooklyn Museum because they had objected to a painting by Chris Ofili, this is what he said.
The role of the city is to allow an art museum to show whatever it wants. The role of the city is to be able to provide access and egress for anyone who wants to see it, and for those who want to protest it, push them off to the side and make sure that there is a place for them to do it. But at the time, I had thought, and I was held wrong, and now I know the difference, that you shouldn't be using taxpayer dollars to desecrate one's religion.
One of the other candidates, Republican candidates, John Katsimatidis, who's the wealthiest of all the candidates, I pointed out that he hadn't supported arts organizations of any sort through his philanthropic contributions, and he said,
For the last 6 months, I've been doing Tony LaBianco's play, Mayor LaGuardia, because I really enjoy his work. And we are, the first 2 weeks of August, we're doing probably about 10 more shows.
You're producing it?
My producer, I'm the executive producer. You know what that means?
Yes.
I write the check.
When I asked him what percentage of the city's budget should be allocated to arts education, he said 110%. And then he insisted that he keeps his promises. Now, some of the other candidates, former city council member Sal Albanese, said that that although he doesn't advocate an art tax, he thinks that 1% for culture's call for an increase in city art spending to a full 1% of the budget makes a lot of sense. And he would work in concert with the unions to modernize the city's pension plan along the lines of the Toronto system. Now, I don't know what the Toronto system is, but he made it sound like it's pretty good.
Oh, great things.
George McDonald, another Republican candidate, the founder and president of the Doe Fund, an organization that serves the homeless, also the formerly incarcerated and people with substance abuse histories, hardly talked about it. He just talked about how proud he is of the houses that he owns. And as I understand it, Adolfo Carrion, the former Bronx Borough president and deputy assistant and director of the White House Office of Urban Affairs, arrived during the forum and sat in the front row for a short while and then got up and left.
Well, they have tight schedules, we're told. Try not to take it personally.
Now, I'm not going to ask you which candidates you will be voting for, but did any of them really impress you in discussing these issues, which are so important to all of you?
For me, most of the major candidates were articulate on these issues, and so I was pleasantly surprised. I think their commitment to increased funding is there, even if they won't promise the exact numbers we asked them about.
Although some seem to suggest that the arts would get a lot less than others, but probably that the leading candidates were the least willing to commit.
Yes, I noticed
that. That's probably why they're leading candidates.
That's right.
In all seriousness, I think that they were very well versed on the issue, and they all come with a level of experience with working with the cultural organizations in their past political careers. So, the fact that they got on record and talked about it during the election season, I think that means a lot for the next administration.
So whoever wins, we're going to hold his or her feet to the fire, say, here's what you said.
Absolutely.
Let's see you come through.
What was so great about the forum for me, not just personally, kind of thrilling to see that this work I've been doing for so long is getting a public stage, but we had a young woman, a student named Candace Lee Camacho, who came through a program at Young Audiences New York. She's just graduated from LaGuardia Performing Arts High School, is going to NYU for music production in the fall. And she was there the entire night and went on to me about how this is her first election and how she, this forum is going to impact her decision and how she votes. And I think it's just a good reminder, but that what's important to the young people today is what they're going to vote on and what they're going to demand in the future.
Thank you all so much for being on our show. Nancy Cleaver, Executive Director of Young Audiences New York. Susan Furman, President of Teachers College at Columbia University, and Heather Woodfield, the Executive Director of 1% for Culture.